he had influence. I say it that way. He was a terrible role model. But you can't say you're not a role model. You know what I mean? You got influence. So whether you admit to it or not, you are influencing somebody. Tell somebody right now, somebody's watching you. And there's somebody out there who wants to be like Mike. Whether you do right or do wrong, they're going to emulate you. Amen. And we have to understand that as kings, even though you might not feel like it all the time, you might feel lesser, you might feel limited on that, you have a measure of influence. Somebody is watching your life. If you're saved, somebody's watching your life. Amen. And somebody's either judging and you know, nitpicking your life, looking for stuff that's wrong. And amen, you know, God will protect you in that. God will, and you know, as they watch you, God's going to be able to speak to them. But somebody's watching you. Why? Because you have influence. Whether you will admit or think so or not, you do. Kings have influence. Amen. Influence is simply the ability to shape, to give direction, or I like this one, or to evoke change. And if anything, we are reformers, change agents. We don't have to go in, you know, pushing over the money changers tables and kicking people out and beating people out. Jesus did that. But when we go into situations, if you are just you, the best you that God has made, and living before God, you know what? You begin to right away change the atmosphere. Amen. Where there's hate, you bring love. Where there's confusion, you bring peace. There'll be people that'll gravitate to you because you are peaceful. And they ain't had a good night of sleep in a long time because they're tormented. And here you come with peace, and all of a sudden those tormenting spirits have to leave them. And so they like to be around you, and you don't like to be around them because they got the devil. But they're gravitating towards you. That's where your patience has to kick in. You are a king. You rule a situation. Okay, they're not very savory or comely and all that, but God is drawing them, and he's using you. King Saul had a demon. Evil spirits tormented Saul, and he would call for David. And David would bring his harp or his guitar, whatever it was, and would play. And while he would play, the demons would leave Saul. And Saul would be at peace because of an anointed influencer who was anointed a king. Even though he wasn't in the office of a king, he was anointed to be a king. Do you hear? You have that. And one of the challenges in the body of Christ today is identity. People, if you listen to people, if you listen to the wrong people, they can destroy your self-esteem. And everyone should have self-esteem. I'm not talking about the twisted stuff. I mean, self-esteem. You should feel good about you. If you're saved, you should feel, your conscience should be clear. Not letting people plant corrupt things in your conscience. Do you know, the fall of Adam and Eve was not when they plucked an apple. You're talking about Adam's apple, you know, got caught in his throat. You know, it wasn't an apple. You know what happened when Eve listened? You see, man does not live by bread alone, but by words that proceed out of the mouth of God. When she listened, ever before, if there even were a fruit that she ate, she listened and those words got in her and began to form a nature. And then when Adam listened to her, it formed a nature. And when that nature formed in them, then whatever act was rebellion against God, it was because of that nature. But the nature was found in words. The devil spoke words. And when she received or ate those words, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, you eat the word of God. She ate the word of the enemy. There's where the fall came. And when she went and presented it or spoke it to Adam, Adam ate from her. And when God came, you could tell they had the nature of the devil, because the first thing Adam said is, "The woman you gave me." In other words, he was blaming her, accusing her. And then she turned around and said, no, the serpent. Instead of saying, you know, we are guilty. The devil is an accuser. And they had taken on his nature. Do you understand? So it's very important. Stop listening to people that always talking down on you. Hello, somebody. Help me, Holy Ghost. Stop listening to stuff that always make you feel bad about yourself and what you missed out on and what you could have had and what you should have had. Stop listening to stuff like that. It'll form the wrong nature. Listen to things that will build your spirit up. Listen to the word that God speaks to you. Listen to things that will edify your spirit, that will build. God is a builder. He's a restorer. He's not tearing you down, trying to destroy you. The devil's trying to destroy. And if he can get your identity, I don't feel like no king. What are you talking about, king, this old king stuff? Let him walk in my shoes. You just don't know. No, you don't know. Amen. I said, you don't know. You've been listening to the wrong sources. I'm talking about saved. Born again. It doesn't matter if it was yesterday or just a little while ago. When you are born again, you are a new creature. It happens instantly. Now, your mind's got to be renewed, but you've become a king's seed. So a king has influence, the ability to bring about positive change into your domain is called influence. Now, the reason why we live according to God's rule, if you live according to the world's rule and standard, you're not going to have really godly influence. You might be part of the good old boys club, you know, where y'all cover up each other's lies and, you know, y'all try to manipulate and all of that. You can be part of that. But to have influence, you've got to have character. Amen. Somebody's got to be able to point at your life and say, you know, no, you can do business with that person. They'll do right by you. Amen. You don't want people to say, no, don't do business with him. No, you don't want to do business with him. I don't recommend them at all. They'll do a half, they'll do half the work and then won't finish it or do a shabby job. No, you don't want that. So we are governed by the rule of God's kingdom. Amen. That's why tell somebody, stay in your domain. Perfect the things that God has given you. Work the things. Don't be a settler. Continue to work the things. You know, allow creativity. You know, sometimes when I'll say age gracefully, people tend to slow down in every category. That's okay if you walk a little slower or take you a little longer to think things through and that's okay. But don't just settle. You still have creativity. Tell somebody, don't be lazy. Tell somebody on the other side, don't you be lazy either. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider his ways. How he stores up stuff in the summer for winter. If you notice ants, you know, even the red ant mound, if you touch that mound, them ants come out. And they looking. They want to find out who to mess with. You know, they're defending. They are always, and you follow a trail of ants, you just see a long trail of ants, what they're doing. You know, they're always busy doing. Go to the ant. Stop settling. Stir up those creative juices. Hello? I said stir up. It doesn't mean that you have to take drastic measures in that, but do something to stay alive. You know, to know that you're alive. Do something different. Do something creative. Allow something new. Buy something new. Go a different route. You know, here we live on the water, and I'd be ashamed to even ask you how many even go over on the water. I heard somebody say, there's water here? Yeah. Well, when's the last time you went out on a bicycle? When's the last time you took a walk somewhere just to smell the fresh air? No, you riding that same route, windows up, same station. Settlers. No, we need people with influence that will allow creativity. Don't just leave it to the young. The young, yeah, they have it. When we come into those ripe ages, and yet, that doesn't mean just to settle. It don't mean just settle. Hello? Y'all get this? Tell somebody, don't settle. God's not even finished with you yet. And you know what? God hadn't settled. Kings, there are three types of authority. Kings have authority. Number one, authority is power to act. We've been given authority, power to act. Not just a desire to act, but power to act. You can decree a thing. Come on, kings. I said, you can decree a thing. And the word says, it shall be established unto you. And God says, I will cause the light to shine upon your ways. In other words, I'm not going to let it fail. I'm not going to let it be destroyed. I'll cause the light to shine. You decree. You decide. You know, it's in line with my word. You decree it, and I'll establish it. And I'll cause the light to shine on it. Kings have authority. Authority is the right to enforce the word of God. When you go into environments, atmospheres, situations, where you know there's a whole lot of demonic activity. I was sharing the other day, and you know, this just recently started coming to me. The Lord has dealt with me down through the years with dreams and on many occasions. But I remember having this dream, since we're studying this in our school about darkness, and that's one of the things we're going to study tonight. I remember having this dream. It was like a bedroom. It was either a couch or a bed here, and I was sitting on it, and there was a door over on that side of the wall, but there was no door on it. There was a doorway. And on that other side of the wall was darkness. Let me tell you something. We talk about darkness, but this darkness was horrifying. I never went into it. I could see it from a distance, but the way it made me feel, the fear, it was like a demonic realm. And I could hear things going on back in there, but it was darkness. Remember when God sent darkness on Egypt? It was one of the plagues. Think about it a moment. We see darkness as just night. Now that's one, just one of the darkness, the spiritual darkness. When God sent darkness on Egypt, nobody moved from where they were for 3 days. You know why? It was so dark. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face. Thick darkness. Thick darkness. I saw that, and it was a horrifying fear. It was just panic, and it was like God just let me get a glimpse of it, but it was I had to use the word horrifying. Yeah, I've been in darkness before. You've been in darkness before, but you have to let your eyes adjust. And it wasn't that. That's night. We talk about spiritual darkness.
We invite you to worship with us. Please join us in our newly added 8:30 a.m. service on Sundays. See you there.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.